Welcome to Spruce Grove Women's Church, your home.
Hi, everyone. My name is Emily Weave, if you don't know me. I'm 17 years old. I've been going to this church for 17 years. And I've had your kind of typical Christian lifestyle, you could say. I became a Christian at the age of 5. I was baptized when I was 12 years old. I went to church every Sunday, youth on Tuesdays and Fridays, camp every summer. But I never really felt super close to God. It was like riding a wave, kind of, you could describe it. I would go to camp, and I would be so empowered being surrounded by so many different Christians and hearing their experiences. And then I would go home, and after a week, I would stop reading my Bible. I wouldn't pray. And I always thought that being a Christian would get easier when I got older, because older people have more experience. They are more outgoing. Fun fact, it does not get easier. In fact, for me, it's gotten a whole lot harder now that I can't use the typical Sunday school Jesus answer for everything. When Josh asked me to speak, I had no idea what kind of message I wanted to speak on. I wanted to focus on one thing because a lot has happened in my life, and I tend to ramble on. But over the past few days, I have felt the calling to share my experience on walking with Christ through spiritual drought. Back at our youth retreat in 2021, you ask any kid that was there, and they will tell you that they felt the Holy Spirit in that room, and it was just this wild, crazy experience. When we went back this past November, it was clear that we were all excited and very ready to feel that same energy. However, while some people were very moved by the Spirit, I was completely empty, and that was really scary for me. I felt nothing inside me and no feeling of God anywhere near me, which was terrifying. It was at this time that I realized that I was in a spiritual drought and that I had been in it a long time before I went to youth. I never read my Bible and only prayed when I was upset or sad or asked to at youth. And over the next several months, it didn't get much better. I was struggling with anxiety and depression. I had no motivation to go to youth or church, and I was kicked out of my friend group at school for being a Christian. So you could say my life was not going very well. I eventually decided that I was done waiting around for things to magically get better, because as some people know, Jesus does not just magically fix things without putting effort into a relationship with him. So I started reading my Bible again. I worked to fix my relationship with Christ. Recently in youth, we went through the book of Revelations, and while reading about the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia, we read through the letter to the church in Sardis, and part of that message really spoke out to me. Revelations 3, verse 1 to 2, "I know all the things that you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead." And then it continues to go on about how this church was lukewarm in their faith. That message really stuck with me because it felt like this was describing my life, which only made me want to work harder to rebuild my relationship with God. So here I am now. I can't say that everything is perfect and that I'm not still struggling daily in my walk with God, because life is not perfect. And I still continue to not feel his presence all the time. But I'm putting my faith in him, and I know that he's always with me no matter what. Thank you.
Okay, before I begin, I just want to say sorry if my voice cracks. I was at my graduation yesterday, and I was up really late. So, if you hear my voice crack, no, you didn't. Okay, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Paige Wilson. I'm almost 18, I'm 17, but I'm in grade 12, which unfortunately means I'm ending my last year in youth. I began attending Spruce Grove Alliance in September of 2021, so just the beginning of my grade 11 year. In the past 2 years, God has changed my life in ways I couldn't have imagined. Prior to being a part of this church community, I was living a very stagnant faith. I have grown up in a Christian home all my life and can remember accepting Jesus into my heart when I was around 6 or 7. I can remember acknowledging that I am a sinner who needs forgiveness, but I do not think I fully understood what that meant at the time because I was young. Growing up, my parents were never afraid to talk to my sister and I about anything God-related. They often encouraged us to ask questions so that we had no doubts with what we believed. So naturally, going to church every Sunday and youth when I eventually came to that age were like a part of my weekly routine. However, as I got older, I started realizing that I was just going through the motions of living a Christian life. I wasn't actually like pursuing Jesus. I think part of that kind of attributed to the fact that I didn't have many Christian friends at the time. I had kind of, I don't know, like I had one friend at my old church, but I didn't really see her that much. I only saw her on Sundays and at the odd youth event. So my friends at church and everything, they all knew that I was a Christian, but they didn't really, like, I couldn't really talk to them about much. I couldn't really walk with them in my faith because of, they just, like, didn't have the same foundation that I did. So they couldn't see things from my perspective, and so because of that, I lacked the accountability for my faith. So at that point, that was kind of the end of grade 9, so I began earnestly praying for friends that could encourage me in my walk with faith, with Jesus, and influence me in a positive way. So I know that my parents prayed the same prayer, and he answered. That summer, I went to Camp Nakaman, and I was a junior there, and I also was a camper there, and I met a lot of great people, and I was just immersed by a community that everyone loved Jesus. And this kind of marked the beginning of a new adopted lifestyle for me. I was in an environment where Christ was the center, and there was a majority of fellow believers around me. Many of those people have become my closest friends today, and I have created the best relationships with them. One of those friends actually ended up bringing me here to this church. After I had told her that I was looking for a new youth group, she was like, come and check mine out. So I did, and my family actually ended up coming here like full time. So that's pretty cool. Almost 2 years later. So I attend church every Sunday, and the youth group here has really changed my life, actually. I have many Christian friends now, and honestly, they're probably some of my best friends. Not probably, they are. So ever since I started attending this church, I have been continually surrounded by the presence of God. I feel his love in all I do. And last year, on May 10th, I actually got baptized, so I made the choice. And I am fully committed in my relationship with Christ. And now I intentionally seek him out. Weekly Bible study and church have become a priority in my life and will continue to be one as I move on to young adults next year. I'm sad that I'm leaving my grade 11 friends behind, but Marissa and Melissa, let's go. So I'm now helping out with the kids' church, so if your kids are in grades 5 to 6, you'll see me. And I'm also senioring at Camp Nakaman this summer, so if you guys want to send your kids there, it's a great place for them to learn about the gospel. So overall, my experiences with faith have taught me personally two things. One being that God hears you and will answer your prayers in his timing. As it is written in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And the second thing being, God has a plan that is far better and greater than what we have imagined. So, which leads me to my vision verse for the year. something that I've had to learn over the past year. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So that's Proverbs 19:21. So when you make God the foundation of your life, he will provide for you. That's what I've learned. So.
Hello. My name is Lane, for those of you who don't know me. I am not a youth. I wish I still was, but I am older than they are now. And like Paige, my voice is a little tired today, but not because I was at a grad or anything, because I was just smoking youth at Nine Square. So that's what I did all day yesterday. So yeah, if my voice cracks, it's just because I was yelling at kids. I'm one of the youth leaders here. Up until, actually today, this will be my last time because I am moving to Red Deer. If you haven't figured it out yet, we have youth running the service. They did amazing worship. They were amazing greeters. They were great ushers. Where are they? Yeah, there they are. Good job. It's a youth-run service. And it's not just because why not. It's also because we had our spring retreat this weekend, which realistically we could probably have called our summer retreat because it's June 11th. But we had our retreat. And the theme for our retreat this year was Eyes Wide Open. And I explained this on Friday when I opened. I don't mean just literally because, you know, you have some kid sitting right there who's like, well, yeah, of course your eyes are open. We mean more spiritually. And having your eyes open to see God's direction and call for you. And we concluded our retreat yesterday with a challenge to the youth, not only to have their eyes open to see God's calling and direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit in their life, but also to seize any opportunities that they see over this summer while we're just taking a break. And obviously you can see that some youth are seizing opportunities right now just in service of you guys. So again, our challenge is to see and to seize. Because let's be honest, we can have a tendency to see opportunities to be lights of Jesus to the people around us, and that's great. But one thing that often I found that I neglect is the seizing part of it, seizing the opportunity. You see it, and you're like, man, I should go talk to that person, but I'm not gonna. And for some reason, that's just what we do. So today, over the next few minutes, I have a challenge that I'm going to extend to everyone here. It's the same challenge we had to the youth, but it is applicable to everyone here. To see and to seize. So I'll just open in a quick word of prayer and then we'll get into some scripture. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for just everyone here. God, thank you especially for all the youth who just willingly serve you today. God, thank you for everyone else who is here just attending. And I pray that we would just have eyes open to see and ears that are open to listen as we just go through some scripture together. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So I don't have any slides, which Justin in the back was like, why not? And I was like, well, because I was doing youth retreat all weekend and I don't have time for that. So if you guys have your Bibles with you, we're going to have to do it that way if you want to follow along. We're going to be going to Acts 3, and we're going to be reading verses 1 to 12. So Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized that this was the lame beggar that they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. And Peter saw his opportunity, and he addressed the crowd. So, as we get into this, I'll just give some quick context as to just like some surrounding details. If you guys don't know, something big has recently just happened at this time. It's Pentecost. This is happening really closely after that. So we're seeing thousands of people being saved, new Christians who are going to the temple every day just to worship together. So that is just the context laying the ground for this, is that this movement has started. The Jesus, original Jesus revolution has taken off. So what we can see when we look at this is that in verses 2 and 3, that the beggar was here every day. He had someone or some people who would bring him there every day, lay him by the gate so that he could do his thing and ask for money. And because he was a beggar, we can logically assume that since he was still there, he wasn't making a whole lot of money. And that's just a given in a time where labor was a man's value, how much you could carry. And if you can't walk, you didn't have much value. So this man needed others to care for him. Then what we see as we go on into verses 4 to 6 is that we see Peter and John looking at him. And then Peter saying, "Look at us, look at us." Peter saying, "Look at me," is rather significant. This guy, the beggar, no one would really want to make eye contact with him. He was seen as sick or diseased. You don't look at him. I wish I could say that that was just cultural, but unfortunately, it's something that we do today. We can see someone who may just be down on their luck or just going through a really, really hard time. And it doesn't even have to be a beggar. It could just be a friend who's really struggling. And we have a tendency to just go, I don't have time to deal with you that right now. Someone else will help you. But not me. Someone else. But we see that Peter says, no. Look at me. Look at us. We got something for you. And obviously, this beggar is like, "It's payday. Let's go. I am going to get some money." But what does Peter say? He says, "No, I actually don't have any silver or gold for you." And I can just picture, if I was the beggar in that moment, this guy says, "Look at me." And he goes, "I don't have any silver or gold for you." I'd be like, "Are you just going to make fun of me now or something? Like, just get it over with." But what we see is that Peter obviously doesn't do that. What we see him do is say, "I've got something greater. I've got something better." And then we see him say, "In the name of Jesus, get up." That's important, the calling on the name of Jesus. It's not like calling on dad's authority. It's not like when you're fighting with your siblings over, I don't know, maybe who gets to play the we or whatever. I'm old for the youth, so the Wii is like what? The Nintendo Switch, we'll go with that, okay? But it's not like you're fighting with your siblings over that and you can have the trump card. Well, Dad said I could play. Or even better, Mom said it's my turn. No. It's not quite like that. It's a little bit like that, but it's so much more. Peter here is calling on the name of Jesus. He's not just saying, because Jesus said, get up. He's saying, I'm calling on Jesus' authority. Jesus' power says that you can get up. That is what he's saying when he says, in Jesus' name, get up. And what do we see happen? Well, we see that Peter takes the lame man by the right hand, and he helps him up. And instantly he can stand, he can walk. His feet are healed, and his ankles are strengthened. And naturally, I like how they build up to this. He gets up, and he's like, oh, sweet. He jumped up, and he stood on his feet, and he's like, oh, sweet, maybe I can walk. I can walk. And then he starts leaping. I'm not going to leap up here because I don't want to look really, really goofy. But he starts leaping. And he begins to run and jump. And I can only imagine dancing around. It just, if you guys could picture it, I can picture it because I saw some kid dancing right there last night. And you can just see the excitement. It's just incredible seeing someone leap up and just dancing in praise of Jesus and what he has done. And the beautiful part of this is him jumping around in the temple, dancing around, is that obviously people who are in the temple are going to be like, what is this guy doing? Oh, wait, who is this guy? No, this is the beggar. I just saw him. You were just right here laying on the ground. And now you're over here dancing, you're praising God. You're with two guys. What is going on? How did this happen? And yeah, no doubt, they're wondering how. And this is where Peter sees his opportunity. That's what we see in the first part of verse 12. Peter saw his opportunity, and then he walked away and he was like, all right, God, you got this. No, he saw his opportunity. And then he addressed the crowd. He saw it and he seized it. My page turned back. Peter uses the whole shock and awe of this man walking to be like, oh, Jesus, you are giving me an opportunity right now. Not only has this man been saved, healed from his life of just not being able to walk, but you're also giving me an opportunity to address those who maybe haven't heard of your healing power. Peter uses the shock to show what Jesus' name can do and how only in Jesus' name can healing be found. Peter sees this man and he seizes the opportunity to share the light of Jesus. And we're all called to do the same. We're all called to be like Peter, to see the opportunity and to jump on it. Called to be lights on a hill, not covered up, but shining. Called to be a vessel of his love. And if maybe you're not believing me yet, you will, don't worry. If you're not believing me just from the scripture, well, it's something that Christians have thought for thousands of years, and it's something that even now we sing about so often in like every worship song or every other worship song we do. And to prove that, I have 10 worship songs that I went through out of just looking at lyrics, seeing just this example of seeing God working and being bold to step out. So we've got a song called Shepherd. Lyrics go, help my heart respond every time you call. We've got a song called Pour Me Out, make me a vessel. We got a song called Mighty to Save. which is just giving you that vision. Everyone needs compassion. We've got a song called Won't Stop Now. That's one that we've done here a lot. Now I'm ready for whatever you want to do. We've got even more. We've got a song called Spirit Lead Me. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. We've got a song called Abide, where the Spirit leads, I'm following. A song called Nineveh, where you lead, I'll go. A song called Spirit, guide us by your presence. A song called Good Shepherd, I'll follow where you lead. And a song that I mentioned on Friday, which is Open the Eyes of My Heart, which has the lyrics, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. It's something that we have always, as Christians, kind of had a desire, is not to just see, but to also act. I know that I can have eyes to see, but I can neglect seizing opportunities. It's scary. You might look a fool, or you might be worried that maybe I just won't do it right. Maybe I'll let Jesus down. Well, let me tell you this. There's one thing that I've learned in my walk is that Jesus doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. If Jesus is calling you, he will qualify you. So when you see something, he will equip you. But yeah, sometimes I see but don't seize. And maybe some of you here are the same. Maybe you're the person who sees the beggar and you just don't make eye contact and you walk by, doubting that you can help. Maybe you're the one who sees the beggar, you throw him a coin, and you keep on walking. You're like, that's all I have for you. Maybe you are the person who is like Peter, who sees him and goes, I've got something better for you. Or maybe even you are that beggar here today, and that you are in need of healing. I can tell you all confidently that if you are that beggar, there is healing here, and it's in Jesus' name. So as I close, and as we all leave this place soon, I want to challenge everyone here with the same challenge that we've given to the youth this past weekend. To have your eyes open to see where God is calling you. To have your ears listening for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And to have the boldness to seize any opportunity that comes before you. Knowing that Jesus will strengthen you. And I challenge all of us to do this in the coming week, in the coming weeks as we head into summer, in the months ahead, and really just as long as we're here, as long as we're walking on this earth, that we would just have eyes open to see.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.